What's like your favorite series ever? You had to like pick, you got a number one?
Walking Dead.
You're Walking Dead?
Yeah.
All right.
Walking Dead.
Did you watch Walking Dead?
Oh, I watched Walking Dead. They lost me when they killed Glenn.
Glenn died?
Ah, you lost? You got lost there? You didn't see what Carl me. Died?
Nope.
Oh, my God. No,
okay, Carl dies?
I know Carl dies, maybe I should watch the rest.
Bro,
who's Carl?
I had a lump in my throat after that shit, bro. No. I came out. That shit hurt.
No, when they killed Glenn, I was like, I can't fucking do this. I was all in on Glenn and Maggie, dude.
Oh, no.
They bust his head open, boy. That's my show.
Dude, you watch it? The sound. I can still hear the sound.
Bro, you got to go finish
of
it.
The murder?
Yeah, I watched like the rest of that season. I think I started the next season, the season after that, and just trailed off. Yeah. I was like, all right, I guess.
I get it.
But no, I do need to finish it.
I get it. I ain't mad at you. That was my shit, though.
Walking Dead.
Never watched it.
Spartacus? Mm.
I did like Spartacus.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking.
I done watched that three times.
A lot of fucking?
A lot of fucking.
Really?
A lot of fucking, dude.
They'd be
it's
fucking.
Like Game of Thrones without the fighting?
It's like Game of Thrones 300.
With fighting, yeah.
Oh, Spartacus. The violent people. Yeah.
The violent people.
A lot of Lucy Lawless. Old, whatchacallit? Zena. Asian? Old Xena warrior princess. Fucking.
She's like 60.
Now, the show is from like the early
2000s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she'd been.
She was like 40 something.
Yeah.
Still hot.
Right. What was that?
She was the wife of the main dude.
Oh, okay. With the redhead.
Yeah. Okay. The redhead. Okay. That was married to the dude from The Mummy. Mm-hmm.
Is Spartacus. So, how did you get into Spartacus? Like.
It came on after The Wire.
Yo! HBO Sundays had a run, dude.
That's hilarious. Hey.
Tarnation!
I feel like that was the pre-roll. Hell yeah.
If you aren't on the Patreon, you are missing the fuck out.
Yes.
Tell you that right now.
If you are on the Patreon, come join us over on YouTube for the rest of the episode. And yeah, if you're not on the Patreon, you just missed all of the shit that just happened.
And my, was it glorious?
It was nice.
If you own a Patreon, follow me at bellybutton615 because I need more white friends.
Belly needs more white friends. I need more white and black people to buy tickets to my shows and everybody else.
You just said white and black.
Yeah. Only whites and blacks, dude. No. No, I need everyone of all races and orientations and political leanings to buy tickets. I've got shows coming up March 8th in Fort Wayne. That's already happened. Some of you showed up to that. Tell the others how good it was. And then March 29th, University of Pittsburgh. I'm doing a show that is free to the public, but you do have to click an RSVP and get tickets for it. So you can get that on my website as well. 419 San Antonio Station Comedy Club. I'm coming back to Texas. Let's go.
We might be there.
420 Yeehaw. Oklahoma City at the Pharmacy Dispensary. 424 Zany's Chicago. Just all the wrap up dates of the new material, just getting everything tight before the new special comes out and I start touring with this new hour of material. So come see your boy.
How long have you been doing it? How long have you been doing stand up?
5 years in May.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that is insane.
It.
Yeah.
It's insane that you just had a full list of dates. And you're crushing it out there. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Truly. That's like the template. That's what we're all like trying to be there. Yeah. We're about the same. 2.5?
Two.
Almost three.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm baby.
Yeah, but really though, you show us like what's possible and like how to do it a little bit.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. He's carving a path. I just exactly. have to keep yeah. getting better.
And everybody well, carving dude. A path. That's what mm-hmm. I like about it too. Like everybody that's in the top tier, you know what I'm saying? You yeah. can see them, you can see it, you know, from even from Dusty yeah. Slate.
Well, yeah.
you know
what I'm saying? But that, yeah. that's literally where I'm at. Like it's literally been like trying to get better and like trying to figure out a different way to do things because like the way that I write and like figure out material now, it's so different. Like I literally, when I recorded my special, I already had on the drive home from Florida, like the drive back here to Nashville from there, I already had like the outline of what I wanted the next hour of material
That's
to be.
Dope.
That's yeah. crazy.
And then like the hour after that is like, oh, when I get to here, I want to talk about this and this and this. And so now it's just like filling in some of the like the gaps and chunks, but it's the way I want to build it now. I need to run the full hour all at once. So now like the goal is like, okay, build from one date here, one date there till, okay, let's do a weekend here so I can run that hour 5 times
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
in a row. And then I can come back home, do spots, work on some of the new stuff, take the hour back out on the road, see where the new stuff fits in, see where everything kind of falls and start really.
Yeah. I think like the thematic arc, I've said this before, like you're the way that you create a thematic arc gives you like a constraint that you're doing all of your writing inside of. And I think that's the challenge. You have to find like what your themes are, I think. Otherwise, you're just writing bits in space. And they're not yeah. clumping together. They don't clump together yeah. into an hour. You're just
well, and
like,
then the random bits that I do think of that are like, okay, this isn't going to work in an hour of material, I will put out.
Yes.
I'll just like, okay, this I can just put out as an individual thing and just...
Let just for
flow.
The content gods.
And even like 30 minutes. I saw Dan Soder's special and it was like 35 Dude, or something like that.
It fucking rips.
The so whole good. Time. The whole time. Dan it's Soder's probably a white comedian.
Don't know.
Dude, that honestly, that special is probably the best one I've seen so far this year, even though we're Dude. So early into the year. But his so jokes good. And his setups, just everything.
So
were
tight,
just,
yeah.
Everything yes. was tight, but it was very relatable.
Mm-hmm. I went back and watched his special from 10 years ago and... Similar theme, truly a similar yeah. theme. He talks about his childhood a lot, and he talks about like his mom and his relationship with his stepdad 10 years later. So it's like you really are mining yourself in a way mm-hmm. of like this is true to me. This is how I feel. Somewhere, if you want to care about it, I think.
How do you? What's your writing process?
I jot down
what
one part Hennessy, two parts.
two double shots in a blunt. No, I write in my head, but I do jot it down on a notebook on my phone when the idea come, and I yes. just put it in there and then go work it out on stage, and then I just do it enough to where I find the funny in it. Real, you know, I can find the funny in it. It's funny already. It's just how I say it and figuring that out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Do you have like the concept? Then you go to stage and you find the punches, or you just find everything on stage after you just have this concept off stage.
I got it from A to Z. I got the setup and I got the punch. I just need to figure out the middle.
Okay.
To make it flow, to make it catch. You know what I'm saying? Then sometimes like. It's like a mountain sometimes too. It's different ways that I go up to get to Z. As long as I know what Z is, then I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And almost like when you take a detour from A to Z. Yeah. That's the challenge with a lot of like comics is they're so scripted that they don't take any detours. And sometimes when it's like not working or if it's working really well, you're like, I'm going to turn left actually.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you end up and because it's so new, there's energy there.
And you keep adding on. I keep adding on to it. Like I never stop adding on to something. You know what I mean?
That's mining it, just yeah. finding everything you can, different angles.
That's why that's probably so tough to put a special out because, and I've heard people say this before, of like, as soon as you put it out, like, you think of the perfect... You finish the sculpture after you've already published the fucking yeah. book. Mm. And you're like, God damn, like, I wanted to...
Yeah.
Because it does feel like we're sculpting a little bit of like, it's not done. None of my jokes are done. I don't have a single joke that I'm like, that joke's done.
No, none of them are done.
Especially now, because we filmed it last July, and it's been like almost a year. Mm-hmm. Like they're like going through even the editing process. There's so many jokes that it's like, oh, fuck, dude, I wish I could redo like this, this, and this. Like, let me refilm the first 15 minutes. Yeah. Just let me refilm that. But it is something that like I've thought about, like maybe even doing something like that, like maybe going back and refilming it at some point, yeah. And like kind of like the same way, like. The same way like Disney does like with shows, like rebrand it, mm-hmm. like rebrand it as like the like Captain Autism Reloaded, you know? And like, mm-hmm. okay, these are all the jokes, like the way they ended up afterwards.
Yeah. I was picturing Captain Autism and then the word retarded and then crossed out is tarded and it just says loaded.
Exactly, dude, exactly.
Like the remix to the show. Yeah,
but that's jazz. That's fucking jazz because it's like, it's just your material. It's like,
but that would be, that's something dope though. That's something dope that's something dope that you can go back and remix your shit.
Right.
Also in a different type of room. Like I love small, intimate rooms.
Yeah.
That might be the move. Refilm it at Zany's in the small room.
That would be sick. That's about to be something.
Deep breath. Everyone's talking about how it's about to change comedy in Nashville. Everyone's talking about it. The Dorfmans. They had an article about the Dorfmans talking about it, and they're like, first of all, the Dorfmans, they're the owners of Zany's. They were saying, like, it was like, comics are geniuses and they're artists and like you have to protect and incubate their experience. And it's like, fuck yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. So it's like, it's reassuring to know that they have like that perspective and it's just the constraints right now that create the effects.
They're also building the podcast studio in Zany's and we have already been asked
to move it in there. Okay.
To move this? What?
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments below.
I don't know. I kind of, we'll just have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
Figure out a way to like make our studio like movable.
Yeah.
Mm. Where it could be like moved into place for the episode.
Or if we have to get big guests and they just want to.
They're just right there.
Right.
We just feature on their set.
True.
But we keep this shit and the tarn yarn.
Yeah,
I feel like a tarn. As soon as I open that fucking screen door, I'm like, I'm an idiot. And at Zany's, I'm like, hey everyone, good to see you.
Yeah.
I am Nate Bargatze. Hello. So fascinating. It's very exciting though. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It'll be something.
Yeah, there was someone talking about the other day. It was a big, big comic. They were talking about like the importance of open mics, like that the open mic is like, it's like pond water. It's its own ecosystem, and it's the ecosystem that like where there's a certain vibe there where it's like everyone's got their shit out, and it keeps you maybe more honest or something. I don't know. Just like sometimes like you can get so up there and so away from like
reality.
Drunk people at a bar, at a shitty little bar when no one's listening. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
And when you're fighting in that space, you know, or like.
That's what we were just talking about that earlier. I did a I headlined a bar show basically in
Knoxville,
in Maryville, like right near Knoxville. And when I got there, I was like, oh, this is a bar show. I'm not going to get anything good. Like, I'm not, let me not set up my camera. And then afterwards, I was like, I should have set up my camera.
Yeah.
That always happens to me, though. Anytime I don't set up my camera, I kill.
Yeah.
It's like,
also, I have that bit, the Busta Rhymes stimming bit about like doing sign language. Like, I look like I'm stimming Busta Rhymes lyrics. And there was a DJ there. Like in the booth right behind the stage, and when I closed and walked off, he played Busta Rhymes and like fucking,
damn,
yeah, and it was very cool.
Dude, that would have been a nice clip.
Yeah.
I'm curious what your like. I think we've kind of talked this a little bit. What's your favorite type of audience? Because I was saying like mine are like bar people a little bit. What are you?
It's whatever.
Or there's one where you feel like it's the most.
I would say white.
No, but for real.
No, dead ass. I mean, it just depends on where. It just depends on, because I flip and switch, but white probably listen more.
Yeah.
So more, I ain't gotta do as much.
You don't have to fight for it.
Yeah. Black, I gotta go up there. I gotta
You're just another black guy. You know you're just another black guy.
Yeah, but I gotta be extra funny in that and being a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So but I mean I think I like white though. Give me a white room shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what about if they're like business white? So it's like they have suits and ties.
I don't care. I really don't care at the end of the day who they are.
Yeah.
Show me my opponent. That's my.
I love
that.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. I do
black, I can eat way more hot dogs.
Right. I do more black rooms and white rooms. I do them all evenly. Yeah. So I just sway back and forth. You know, the only thing that I don't like is if I do all white rooms for like 4 months or 3 months.
Ooh.
Or if I do all black rooms for like 3 or 4 months. Because when I come back over to switch,
it's
harder. I'm so loose.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, they ain't out.
Yeah.
And then I gotta come back and be like, okay. You know what I mean? So that's the only part that I don't like. But if I'm going back and forth all day, I'm having fun.
That's awesome that you're doing both. That's so good.
Show me my opponent. Yeah. I wanna make black, white, Chinese. I don't give a fuck. I come to make y'all laugh. And
it would be difficult with a language barrier. If you have a Chinese crowd, like I had a brief interaction at a coffee shop with a Chinese family, and like we just ended up bowing at each other. I was like, this didn't go good. They just go,
I think you lose when you figure out when you ask what crowd it is. I think you lose.
Yeah.
Like, when I get booked, I don't never ask, is it a black or white room?
No, I don't want to know. Oh, yeah. I want to know how they are.
Some people do. They be like, is it a what? It's a black room. Okay, good. If I got these black jokes. No.
No. I'm going to be me.
Right.
Yeah. My favorite is like, you don't know what the room is like going to be or what the crowd is going to be. But like once you're there and my favorite is like when the room is full and like everybody's paid to be there and they're invested in having a good time. Mm-hmm. And there's like that energy, like the buzz around the room. Like people are already laughing at their tables and stuff like that. And like, you can just, there's a good energy in the room and you're like, everything is just gonna work.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Do y'all wear, I'm sorry, I'm high.
You good? What's your question, dog?
Do what?
Do you guys do jokes for the crowds or what?
I go into the crowd at the beginning.
I mean, you know they say pay attention to your audience?
Yeah, you read the room and change your set based on the crowd?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. I like to always be authentically myself, but if I go into a place and they've got like... like Confederate flags and pro-life signs everywhere, there might be a joke I might not do that night. Oh. If I'm hosting it, if I'm like opening up the show, I won't do my kid killing joke, but I'll keep most other things the same.
I was at this Manchester show last week and it's all white and they have an abnormally amount of beards. Like everyone had beards and it was just like very rural. And I went up there and I played to their rural nature and they loved it. So it's like me commenting on their rural nature. And then I at one point I was like, make some noise if you wish slavery. And I stop and I can see the energy on their face. And like just to bring that to the surface, like if there's tension, if there's a psychological perspective, if I was in a deeply Christian room, I can't help joking about Christianity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I want to pull it out in an almost mocky way where they're like, wait, what? You know?
Yeah.
Whatever that is, I like. And I'll change that to the audience, I think.
I don't give a shit.
Do you?
No, you play different to white crowds and black crowds.
I don't. I do the same jokes.
I know you do. It's the same jokes, but how you play, like...
What I mean by jokes though, I don't want to. Black and white is just two different culturally things, so you got to talk differently to both of them. So that's that. But my jokes don't change.
Just how you say it changes.
No, yeah. I'm not picking and choosing jokes based on like who's in the room.
Interesting.
No. Like, yeah, I'll play the room different based on the crowd. Like in a bar show or like a rowdier crowd, you're like, oh, I'm gonna have to like up my tempo because I'm gonna have to keep on top of them the whole time.
Yeah.
I'll do shit like that, but the jokes don't change.
Yeah.
And I'll make jokes about the room if there's like shit in the room. I make jokes about the crowd, but my jokes, my material doesn't change.
That's how I like to start sets, is commenting on the room.
Because I feel like I feel like, yo, you paid for me to be in my world, in my head. So why am I finna dumb down to come to your world in your head? It don't make sense to me.
I think you can learn something there, though. Like, just to take the other side of it is, like, if you know you're going to be performing to, like, poor people or college kids or whatever, you might want to bring up certain tensions that are specific to that crowd just to learn the boundaries and the parameters of how people feel. So much of the benefit of being
on the
road,
that's just the natural part,
is learning people. Yeah.
That's just the that's me riffing, just like, you know what I'm saying? Me being loose.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's going to always be. Like, even the other night, I was in an all white room. Like, I'm the only black guy in that goddamn room. You know what I'm saying? I'm still hitting them with rape jokes. They like, oh my God. I'm like, I don't know.
I just did a weird, like, college in Western Connecticut State University to, like, 11 kids in, like, a student lounge that was in the bottom floor. And, like, the ceiling was, like, this concrete, like, egg carton-y kind of fucking texture. So I kept making jokes about it being a bomb shelter and fucking, you know, like, yeah, shit like that is going to, like, change. And like, like you're saying, addressing your crowds different.
Yes.
But the, like, my joke, like, I'm still going to say retarded to when I do the college campus.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm still going to do all of the same jokes. But I've also, because I've built the material in a way that it will work everywhere.
Yeah.
Even if you're they're offended at first, by the time it's done, they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I see you. I see you, crafty ass. Yeah.
I drag them down to my level and then beat them with experience, Mark Twain style. Dude.
Yeah, who's retarded now?
Leg back there.
Yeah, he crafty on that.
I feel like that joke I was talking about, the kid killing one. I feel like that joke's not done, and I feel that way about all my jokes. But I feel like that joke's not ready to do everywhere. I'm still figuring it out. I need to say it in some rooms that aren't going to like it to figure out how to fix it.
Or, like, I think, like it's like you change the context of your language to the room that you're in a little bit, and then you're like, well, I can't say it that way. That it's forcing a different path in the joke.
Yeah.
So it's
like,
fuck it, I can't say it that way because it's not going to work in this room. So you go somewhere else, and then you might find the way of saying it where it's like, that's actually better.
Yeah.
That's better in every room. But
I think you should try it. Yeah, I think you should try it in the light.
I gotta try it.
Yeah, it's the way you approach it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There are tons of punchlines that I'll hit in a uniquely different way because of how I'm just feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
But that's also a good way to get tags. Because if you say it one way and you're like, okay, well, this works here but doesn't work here. But if I say it this way, it works here but doesn't work here, I say them both.
Yeah.
You know, you end up repeating yourself.
Into
you know?
Another tag, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so
funny. I do like when I start a set, I love talking about the room. Either I talk about the room or I talk to, like, if people have been talked to already, like, just to, like, tell them, hey, I'm here. I'm here with you.
Yeah, I do like to play off of, like, other, if there's a good joke that hits from another comic, I'll be like, ooh, what can I do off of that? Yeah.
I never do
How
that.
Can I bring that back?
I love riffing.
I love doing that.
You never riffed off the last comic?
It's
so good.
When it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a treat you're giving the audience where you can take the energy that they just came from and you can just slurp it straight into, like, your act.
Well, and it's also like, hey, I'm here with you. Like, I'm present in this moment. Yeah. Yeah, we're here together.
Yeah,
I'm not about to read you a script.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you reset the energy a little bit in a different way. You go on with your own vibe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's why I don't like hearing comedians, because I want to go up there and paint on a clear, in my mind,
I like
paint
hearing
on a white canvas. I just want to fuck what you're talking about. Not fuck what you're talking about, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just, I got to go, I can't rely off your energy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I got to go create my own energy.
Oh, it's not a relying thing. It feels more like an exercise. Do you know what I mean?
Feels like we're tag team wrestlers.
Yeah. It's like, can I jump into this vibe that you've created, and can I like remix this in, like, can I mix this in a way where all of a sudden people are like, oh, wait, the whole vibe changed, and we didn't even notice that the vibe changed.
Yeah.
You're like a good DJ mixing two songs together.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay.
It's like, we'll get to my vibe, but for when I first get up here, I'm going to blend these vibes in a way that you're different. Shit.
But not every comic is that way, though, because I see that you don't have to do that. Like, you don't.
But that's still dope, though. Did that come from rolling with your boy from Ruben?
Jake, Jake Rubel.
So y'all been, is that where that came from, like that?
I think that, and also when I first started, I did a lot of like comedy workshops. Like I started with like a group called Keg of Laughs that they would do like every Sunday was like a workshop for any comic could just show up with your material, like do it with all the other comics in the room. And everybody would like kind of like give suggestions or tags or like, hey, you could tighten this up, like blah, blah, blah. And then like I would start like it would we would start doing it with each other kind of thing. It was like once I was like, OK, like somebody would do a joke and it's like, oh, yeah. Like, they did this, and then I can go up and I can say this. Like, I had a friend, Tarab Cook. He used to have a story about his cousin who was autistic, and basically there was a point where his cousin sent him a dick pic, and he was like, it was so big, right? And so then I would go on, and when I would start talking about autism, I'd be like, I'm Tarab's big dick cousin.
Yeah.
And, like, shit like that. So you, like... I don't know. There's just like...
It's a callback to that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's just a nice hit.
I can dig it. I can dig it from that perspective of it.
It's like immediately funny. It's, you're immediately funny in their context.
Yeah.
Well,
and then you just hit them with their... Switch
it's
the vibe.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that showing them like it's like the being funny in the moment kind of thing. It's like, oh, this isn't just scripted.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. And you do that. You do that too. Sometimes at the beginning of your set, you'll go into the audience or you'll...
But not
play
like
with.
He's saying it though. You know what I'm saying? Like he's saying like
within the act of the previous comic.
Yeah, taking that vibe in.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm isolated. So I don't be having that in my head. It's kind of like I'm in it by myself or some shit.
Because you don't know what picture they just painted because you don't want to know because you want your own canvas.
Yeah,
I see that. I feel that too. Yeah. I bring headphones to so many things like shows and shit. Even when another comic's on, I'll get a sense of the vibe and can kind of hear it in the background. But I very much want to just be by myself because I want to feel clean and clear going up there.
And then one time I did it, and this is something that stuck in my head. One time I did it, the Herm, I was at the Herm mic. And we was joking on the same thing, but I didn't hear it. And so when I went up there, I'm doing my joke or whatever. And so I'm sensing that everybody laughing, but they kind of like, I'm like, what, y'all heard this before? They was like, yeah, the Herm just did it. And they was like, I was like, oh, shit, fuck it. They was like, no, you keep telling yours, though. Because so it let me know the picture that I was painting was more, you know what I'm saying? So I can't worry about whether, if somebody doing the same joke or I don't care. It's like, let's go.
Yeah, I see that. That makes sense. It's so different.
It is. I've changed my set on the fly a few times before too, where it's like I have it like up here when I want to like talk about, and I got a set list on my phone that I never look at. Mm-hmm. And then it happened to me at Zany's. The host forgot my name.
Oh.
And I have a joke about my name, so I was like, "Well, I'm gonna have to cut out this section so I can fit I can fit the joke about my name, and then that one goes into this." And then maybe I have enough time to get to where I wanted to go in the end. I've done that multiple times.
Yeah, that's fun though, because it's almost like when something goes wrong, and you're in that oh shit, that oh shit sometimes is the best because it's like you realize that you're not in control or something that you didn't expect.
You're relying off of yourself.
Yeah, and it's just you. That's the best because just you is fucking funny. Yes. It's just fun. Like that's the cool fucking thing about what we get to do is like just being on stage and like being like oh it's working.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You remember when the mic went off on was you there at Zany's when the mic went off?
Yes.
I came like the dude announced me and everything. So I'm belly button. I get on, I'm coming out. Dun, 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 dun. I grab the mic. Hello? That bitch is off. So I'm just like, hello? You want me doing without the mic?
Oh, God.
Okay, it's a test. It's a 90s test.
Dude.
Put you in hard mode.
This must be a test. So.
Yeah, it's God asking you to stop.
Right. And I had got the mic, and so I did like maybe one or two things. They were trying to fix the mic, and then they finally got the mic, and I was like, "Oh shit!" And it just erupted.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious because everybody was like, "Yo, I would have broke down," and I couldn't break down. It was showtime.
There's nothing else to do. That's the thing. There's nothing else
just
to
you.
Do.
It's just you.
I've been like full force stimming and shaking the mic cord loose of the microphone, and now I'm like fucking okay. Now I like hard mode. I have to put these pieces back together.
Oh yeah, that's bullshit.
Fucking,
that's a nightmare.
Oh.
Yeah, try plugging your iPhone in during an earthquake.
While having a panic attack. Yeah, I've had there's almost like a dissociation that can happen if you don't figure out how to just flow with it.
Yeah, like watching like a green comic, like brand new, yeah, fucking try to, yeah, I've been,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
The first time it happens and you're so new and you're just like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first time up there too.
First time at Zany.
Was it your first time? It was your first time?
Yeah, when that shit, damn, happened. I rocked it though, but that shit, I was like, man, it's a trick. What I'm supposed to do? The show must go on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white people in here. They was rolling.
That's cool, yeah, that you rolled with it and you were able to like overcome it.
That's all there is.
Be funny or die.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I would have pulled out my shirt, goddamn. We gonna get some laughs in this whole.
This reminds me of like, I was at an open mic, it was at Twin Cakes 2, and there's this comic who, I think he's quit, but his name was Mo Nasty. And he...
Related to Monique?
No, the opposite side.
He's white.
Yeah, he's a white guy. No. Yeah, yeah, he's a white guy. He's a short white guy. He's a short white guy that kind of has like a pugnacious attitude. Like he's like, if you don't like me, suck my dick. Well, yeah, but he also looks
Mo Nasty.
He looks like he was raised underneath a trailer park. Like, and he goes on stage and he says like abhorrent things. And I like him. Like he's a hang off stage. But he's on and he's bombing and he's got his camera set up filming it. And all of a sudden the power goes out in the whole building. So the mic no longer has power and everyone's like more interested in what's happening. And he stops for a second and he goes, should I keep going? And everyone's like, no. And hey, I swear to God, he kept going. And then like there was like 30 or 40 seconds left of his set, and then finally he got down. I think I got my phone out and lit him because it was the only light in the building. And so finally he got off stage, and as soon as he stepped off the stage, I swear to God, the power came back. And I had to follow him. So I went on stage and I was like, I've had so many people tell me I should quit comedy. I've never had God say it. And he hasn't been out, so. Oh, I'm kidding. That's not why.
I haven't seen him, though.
Yeah, yeah. The people like that, though, come and go. There are so many people in the open mic. That's why it feels like a bacterial, it's like a petri dish.
It's
of
a revolving
like,
door.
Some people are brilliant.
Because I don't be being their friend when they curse coming. I'm like, dude, I mean, I
you don't want to waste your time.
Yeah, yeah, I see you, but. I mean,
everything to do with how good the conversation
Let's
goes.
Let's see if you climb out of the primordial soup and then we can have a conversation.
Right, and it's not even to be an asshole. I don't talk a lot. You know what I mean? No. I'm not finna have a conversation with you, especially a comedy conversation, you know, with the first time. That shit is the worst.
But sometimes you meet people and they're interesting and you like them. Feasal is a new comic. Like, he's just been coming out, but he's so fucking funny and weird and odd.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know.
He grew on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first met him, I was like, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
Because then he told me he was afraid of me, and I'm like, bitch, why are you afraid of me? What do you think I'm gonna fucking do, dog? You're 2 feet taller than me.
Let's get to the bottom of that psychologically. Let's go ask him.
Go ask. Yeah. But no, he grew on me. But yeah, I'll let people in. I'll talk to him. I'll talk to them after a few times of seeing them.
What's his, like, IG?
I don't fuck.
Oh, yeah. I'll send it to you later. But yeah, no, like if especially at the open mic, like you go to hell. You're in hell. At an open mic and it's bad, it's like, well, should we get drunk? You know, it's like it's not a good time.
It reminds me a lot of like
military.
Being in the fucking war and just like you're in the trench. And we weren't
the trenches,
but
exactly.
Figuratively, we're in the trenches together. We're going through this. It sucks. We know it sucks. Mm-hmm. How do we make this fun?
We've all heard each other's material.
How do we get through this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the hang, sometimes you'll have good conversations. Like there was one time after an open mic where it was me and Feasel and two comics that were like road comics, or one new comic and one road comic. And so they're all strangers to me. And we ended up laughing so fucking hard that like our stomachs hurt. And it was just like that post mic hang that can sometimes happen. And you know, those are all new comics. Those are all people I don't fucking know at all. But
you don't be hanging?
No.
You don't like to hang?
You used to.
I just like to be in my own zone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You miss a hang or you?
Who hurt you?
Everybody.
Clip it.
I'm like, man. I just like, I don't know, I just be in my own world.
Yeah.
I come to Mike's to, I'm working. You know what I'm saying? I ain't here to, I ain't here for friends like that. If we still happen to be friends, I'm gonna be your best, I'm gonna be your friend. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't gonna be your friend just to be your friend because I got enough friends. You know?
Yeah. I like a good riff. I like riffing at a mic, but I don't wanna like hear about your mom or something.
I always ask about.
I think when it's when people that's been in and y'all it's like it's different.
You got a rapport.
Yeah.
Vice versa, somebody coming in and they trying jokes on you and shit.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's just like it asks a lot. I'm like, man, bro, just sit back and just watch, bro. That's all. You know what I'm saying? That's all you got. You're gonna wind up doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So, we just fast forward for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool, but I don't. I don't want to talk. I want to work.
That's funny.
I can respect that too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at picking up on vibes. I'll go hang out by myself or leave a room or whatever.
I love hanging out by myself.
I enjoy it actually. Yeah. I really enjoy my alone time.
Yeah. Dude, same. It is a requirement. I have to like recharge sometimes. I have to switch my brain off. I need to do something that requires me to not think at all.
Mm. What's your favorite recharge method this as of late? I've asked you this a few times, but it always changes. So, like, what's the new one?
I don't know. I think it's been like binge watching. It's been like binge watching series. Oh, like, let me just fucking like get absorbed in something that can just take my full focus.
Yeah. Check out of like this reality.
The Netflix Avatar series. Oh. Very good.
Ooh,
yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
I've heard good shit.
Very good.
Cartoons.
It was based on the anime, but it's like the live action.
Black people watch Avatar. Have you seen Avatar? The Last Airbender? Have you?
The Last Airbender?
The Last Airbender.
Not the blue people one, but the one with the arrow on his head. You got to ask a question, right?
No, he knew. He knew. He's talking about
it. No, I didn't. I just saw that they remade the Airbender, and I was like, why didn't they remake it for? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Because they made like the movie a while back. It was, not good. So they made it a series this time.
Oh, so it's good.
It's good.
Expensive, and it's with regular people in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they've got Asians and like.
No, I meant like, shut the hell up. I meant like they want a cartoon or some bullshit.
it's got good people in it and really good actors.
All right, I'm going to check it out. How many seasons is it on?
The first one. First one.
I'm gonna wait till the second.
Yeah, so I like to wait till two or three, and then I hit it.
Then I binge watch.
Yeah,
I won't come out the house for a whole day on your ass.
Yeah, I won't reply to a text for a week, brother.
I just rewatched like the on Paramount Plus the Halo series.
Second season
is out now, so I waited until a couple episodes in, and then rewatched from the beginning of the first season.
It's hard for me to feel like I only binge shit when I'm sick. I almost want to get sick so I could like take a break from things, because anytime I'm doing like the binging thing, there's the other part of me that's like,
I could be doing something productive.
No, yeah.
Same.
For sure.
Same. But it's like, that is my seasonal depression activity.
Yeah.
Let me just binge watch all of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense.
What do you do in your off time?
Yeah. How do you recharge?
Being in the house, just being by myself and in the house.
With your dog?
Yeah, I ain't with my dog.
Y'all broke up?
Nah, yeah. But I mean, I just need my space.
Yeah.
I like my space.
Yeah.
You listen to like music or?
Oh, yeah, I love music though. You know, I love all that music, movies and series and stuff like that. That's all my shit right there. Like Saturday, I sat in the house all day and watched a whole series, two series.
What'd you watch?
BMF. That's black, whatever.
Is that like a black Malcolm in the Middle? Wait, what?
I cracked myself up.
BMF?
Yeah. It's Black Mafia Family.
It's good?
Yeah, it's real good. It's real good.
What's like your favorite series ever? If you had to like put, you got a number one?
Walking Dead.
You're Walking Dead?
Yeah.
All right.
Walking Dead.
Did you watch Walking Dead?
Oh, I watched Walking Dead. They lost me when they killed Glenn.
Glenn died?
You lost? You got lost there? You ain't see what Carl died?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Now,
Carl dies?
I know Carl dies, maybe I should watch the rest.
Who's Carl?
I had a lump in my throat after that shit, bro. No. I came out like... Yeah. That shit hurt.
No, when they killed Glenn, I was like, I can't fucking do this. I was all in on Glenn and Maggie, dude.
Oh, no.
They bust his head open, boy. That's my show.
Dude, the sound. I can still hear the sound.
Bro, you got to go finish it.
Of the murder?
Yeah, I watched like the rest of that season. I think I started the next season, the season after that, and just trailed off. Yeah. I was like, all right, I guess.
I get it.
But no, I do need to finish it.
I get it. I ain't mad at you. That was my shit, though.
Walking Dead.
Never watched it.
Spartacus? Mm.
I did like Spartacus.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of fucking.
I done watched that three times.
A lot of fucking?
A lot of fucking.
Really?
A lot of fucking, dude.
They be
it's
fucking.
Like Game of Thrones without the fighting?
It's like Game of Thrones 300.
With fighting, yeah.
Oh, Spartacus. The violent people. Yeah.
The violent people.
A lot of Lucy Lawless. Old, what you call it? Xena. Asian? Old Xena warrior princess. Fucking.
She's like 60.
Now, the show is from like the early
2000s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she'd have been
she was like 40 something.
Yeah.
Still hot.
Which one was that?
She was the wife of the main dude.
Oh, okay. With the redhead.
Yeah. Okay. The redhead. Okay. That was married to the dude from The Mummy. Mm-hmm.
Is Spartacus. So, how did you get into Spartacus? Like.
It came on after The Wire.
Yo! HBO had a run! HBO Sundays had a run! Dude.
That's hilarious.
Y'all ignorant. I ain't watching The Wire, goddamn. That was funny, though.
Oh my gosh.
Hilarious.
Dude, sometimes you just get a fastball and you swing.
I waited. I paused. That pause was so long. I was like, somebody's got to say it.
Yeah.
No, that was great. Huh.
Dude, sometimes you got to let the jokes die, which this is an example of not doing that. But when you were like asking him what his hobbies were, like how they always change, and he's like, what's your latest hobby? And I wanted to point at the Dune fuck bucket and be like, I had my hand in there.
Yeah, dude, movies, fucking watching shit. Yeah,
I love Dune.
I just started.
Yours is woodwork.
Hmm?
Yours is woodwork.
I haven't done any of that in so long.
Really?
Yeah.
I used to do woodworking and pottery, and it's bad for comedy.
I used to do woodworking.
I was like, what is that,
shit.
A guru? What is that, a fucking yoga teacher? Like, no, I'm a bad boy.
Are you a life coach?
Yeah. I get that.
Oh, shit. I love movies. I love checking out to a good movie. Just
what?
I love checking out to a good movie, like checking out of reality, putting a movie on. Mm. That's one of my favorite ways to recharge.
What's your movie?
Yeah.
Like all-time favorite movie?
Mm.
Gladiator. It's got everything you want. Action, you know, romance, tension.
I can't wait for you. I don't want you to have this experience, but Gladiator 2 is going to disappoint you so much.
There's a second one?
There's one coming out.
How you know it's going to disappoint her?
Because what made so many sequels are not the same thing, and you loved the same thing, and they're going to come back to it, and it's going to continue the story, but it's not going to be what that was. And then you're like, God damn it, they just wanted my money.
I might not watch it.
Is it Ridley Scott?
I don't know, but if it is, I mean, he'll probably do good.
Yeah.
But no one can replace Russell Crowe as Gladiator.
And Joaquin Phoenix? What are we doing?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That was special.
You know, in the middle of Spartacus, they did change the lead role, the lead actor.
Yeah, I hate that.
He died. He passed away.
I understand that.
it was still good, but it wasn't the same. It was still good, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one can do Gladiator like that all-star cast did. Joaquin plays such a sick, demented role.
A demented guy.
But he's so good and believable.
Very mad respect. Joaquin Phoenix.
The soundtrack, okay?
Yeah.
The soundtrack of Gladiator is top notch. Listen to it.
Sometimes when I'm leaving the gym, I'll put it on. Yeah, Gladiator rules. I'm trying to think of other good movies. What's another good movie?
I mean, I grew up watching all the Clint Eastwood movies because we didn't have cable. So
you're like, raised by your dad.
Yeah. Fistful of Dollars, Outlaw Josie Wells, Heartbreak Hill.
Definitely racist.
For sure.
Clint Eastwood? Yeah. I mean.
he used to be at the very least. He was baked in a racist home. Yeah.
Who is he talking to?
Little punk.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood, I never got into that.
I didn't have a choice. It was like, you're going to sit here and watch this fucking movie.
So, okay, so movies now, so when you, you know what I'm saying, you just kind of watch about three movies?
Me?
Mm-hmm. Overall?
I watch a lot of movies.
I'm saying when you binge. Need your space, when you binging.
When I'm binging?
You go back to back on the movies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll do two movies at once. I'll watch as much of the
Marvel. On two different screens?
No, I mean like back to back.
She's got eight screens. So it's movie time. It's time for my movie.
No, that's what I'm trying to switch to now. Like, what? I'm switching from binging series to binging like movie series because it's like it's shorter and it's like more breaks. It's like, okay, I can binge watch a couple movies, you know?
As gay as it might sound, I like the Marvel. I love superhero movies. I like watching and I watch as much of them as I can in the order of the timeline.
I'm the same way. I just don't say it on the podcast. Shout out Tanner Newcomb. That guy is
yeah.
Tanner loves Avengers the way that you love food.
That my dad loves Clint Eastwood.
You love hair products.
I like watching like classic movies or like top rated movies or like I love cinematography and the way things are shot. So like 2001 A Space Odyssey. I just watched that one for the first time a couple months ago and the way it was shot. So I love
it's a weird one. It's a very weird one.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is beautiful.
I like to double watch movies like that, like for the movie and for how they shooting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Figuring it out.
Yeah.
Syndicate of New York's another good one. Weird shot, weird script, but you have to watch it a few times to get it. I like movies like that.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Like a puzzle.
Hmm.
Eh.
What about Dick Tracy? Anyone seen Dick Tracy?
Love Dick Tracy. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Oh,
really?
Like,
yeah.
Is he's an investigator? He's a detective?
Yeah, it was based on like an old like comic book like kind of series. It's a bunch of like cartoonish bad guys. It's like one of the OG comic book movies.
Yeah, dude, that looks like Thomas.
That's Kevin Bacon. That's Kevin Bacon if that's he was movie. Cooked. Jesus. Yeah, that's weird. You've seen this?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I haven't seen that one.
Hell yeah, dude. Dick Tracy is the shit.
That's a legend. That's a classic.
There's a lot of movies like that I haven't seen.
Y'all are older, though. Y'all are older.
How old are you, AJ?
I'm 35.
Yep.
Okay.
You're 39 or
49? 49.
Yeah, bro. That was the shit. That was like some Who Framed Roger Rabbit shit.
Yeah, I briefly remember that. You know what I remember is Face Off with John Travolta and Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, scary though, a little bit.
A little bit. I like the scary
ones. Take his face off. Like, no, don't do it.
That's a classic. That's a classic idea.
Yeah, Face Off, Con Air. Nick Con Cage. Air, God damn, that movie's good. Yeah. He's such a bad boy.
Cage has bangers, dude.
Yeah. Some and also an anaconda in his house.
Yeah. What?
Nick Cage has anaconda money. He has so much. I read an article on him, and it's like he has like King Larry's sword and like Merlin's wand. Like he just has all these relics and shit.
Collecting the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah. he's actually Voldemort.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
Dude, he'd make a great Voldemort.
Yeah, he
would. Yo. Mm.
Nick Cage.
Ooh, that would have been
he would
dope.
Go into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of good villains. Good villains, Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. Great fucking villain. So totally believable.
Tony Soprano in The Sopranos. Great villain main character, but like he plays that role of like...
Yeah, likable and broken, deeply
yeah,
broken.
But evil. Evil as shit, but likable.
Yeah, it's been so much time showing his not evil parts though.
Yeah.
He's just like, can I get a Capricorn? And he tips well. And you're like, he's a good guy. I like him.
Sam Rockwell in The Green Mile.
Ooh.
The Green Mile? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Such an evil. Fascinating. Jafar in Aladdin. Pretty bad. Pretty bad dude. Pretty bad dude.
Bad guy. Dude.
Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Yeah. But ooh, that's what's crazy about him is he's not even a... He's not even really the main antagonist. He's like the psychological commentary, which was even weirder.
But it affects the main character in such a profound way.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Sticks with her.
Also, autistic. Friend of the pod.
Who is?
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Really?
He has autism?
Autistic.
Huh.
I knew he painted.
Good fucking.
Yeah, that's so gross.
That's so crazy. That was improvised. So gross.
Have you seen Silence of the Lambs, Billy?
Yeah, but I don't remember it though.
It's a, yeah, Anthony Hopkins plays.
I remember it, but I don't remember it. It wasn't like.
It didn't stick with you. Yeah. What's like your favorite?
When a
movie?
Prisoner throws jizz on Jodie Foster's face.
Hot.
I was like, girl, get out of there.
That was also improvised.
He's toxic.
What'd you say?
I said that was also improvised.
There's just one actor.
He wasn't supposed to do that. Yeah.
He puts the lotion on its skin. All right, we should probably shut it down. Yeah, we're kind of getting to the end here.
What time is it?
It's like 6:30.
Shit.
I'm going to make sure my dog's not dead. Friend of the pod.
Dead dogs?
Yeah. All right. We already did dates, right? So we're good to wrap up.
Yeah, we already did dates. Good to wrap up.
You want
to
give your socials and shit?
When is coming out?
2-3 weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah. We could put it out before the 30th if you want.
Yeah, I got a show going. Which one on my camera here? Hey, yo. Check out me at me and my boys at Backyard Comedy on March 30th. It's an all-black show in Nashville. You know what I'm saying? We try to give it up. My girl would be on there, too. Definitely check it out.
She'll be
media.
Black.
The flight looked like a gangbang.
It looks like that cop. It looks like the cop that got busted for having a gangbang with other cops.
On the stage.
Hey, you should.
Couch on the stage.
That'd be
black
so fucked up.
Stage? I don't know.
I'm going to Photoshop a couch in that poster and share it.
March 30th. And my IG, bellybutton615, man. Hit me up. Follow me. Holla at your boy.
Grandpa Bar every Friday at 6 p.m. And I'm going to be putting an open mic together here in Nashville in the coming months. So come hang out.
Sydney Stevens Comedy on Instagram. Catch us on the road and shit.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out in the tard yard.
Oh, shit.
I got to piss like a motherfucker.
Headphone, boy.
What in tarnation?